Good morning, everyone. We're going to be reading Ruth 4, 1 to 22, which is on page 269, if you want to follow it in the Pew Bible. And I might take it extra slow because one or two words are a little bit daunting. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring of the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab. Aminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So please, Lord, as we come before your word now, show us Christ in the scriptures, that we might believe and find joy in you, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated and turn up Ruth chapter 4 if you've got a Bible in front of you, or if you've got the Bible on your phone, look it up there. Ruth chapter 4, we're looking at the whole chapter as we conclude our series today. Well, the story so far is that Naomi and her family have suffered great loss. That's what we looked at in chapter 1. Naomi and her family had fled the famine in Israel, and they went to Moab, a neighbouring country, for safety. But there, Naomi's husband dies, as do her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Naomi then returns to Israel, to Bethlehem, with her daughter-in-law Ruth, who is loyal to Naomi and also loyal to the God of Israel. As widows with no children, they faced two serious problems. The first was that they were destitute. So with no husband to provide for their needs, Ruth goes out to glean in the fields after the harvesters. And providentially, she gleans in the field of Boaz, a godly, kind man who provides generously for their needs. But their other need was longer term. Naomi sought for Ruth the security of another husband to restore her family name through the next generation. However, to further the family name, Ruth's next husband needed to be a relative of her first husband. And would you believe it? Boaz was a relative. And recognizing some chemistry between Boaz and Ruth, well, Naomi hatches a plan to get them together. It turns out that Boaz is willing to marry Ruth, which is great news, but there's a problem. You see, there's another man on the scene who'd be first in line to marry Ruth. And this is where we pick up the story today, the conclusion to the story. If you haven't been here for other sermons, I think there's four before this one. They're all available on the website if you want to go back and sort of get the lowdown up to this point. Now, so far in this series, we've really been focusing on the kindness of God that God has been showing to his people, how God has been working behind the scenes in the book of Ruth, in all the details of the story, to provide for his people. But as well as kindness being a very strong theme in the book of Ruth, so is the theme of redemption. And it's to this that we turn our attention this morning. And once again, I'm indebted to a little commentary by a man called Jonathan Prime. And most of what I'm saying today has come from his commentary. Now, redemption is a Bible word with a Bible meaning. Redemption assumes a problem. Namely, that people are trapped in trouble and they need to be set free from that trouble. Okay? Redemption assumes a problem. People are trapped in trouble and need to be set free from that trouble. Now, gloriously, the God of the Bible delights to redeem people. In fact, the God of the Bible is an expert in redemption. And the Bible is full of his redeeming work. The book of Ruth is one of those little stories of redemption that points forward to the bigger story of redemption of the Bible. This week I read about the Vincent van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. And in the basement there's a display of pencil sketches that Van Gogh did in preparation for his final masterpieces. And for example, there's a sketchbook there in the basement which has a number of copies of like fingers. And there's just repeated sketches of these fingers. And apparently, if you take each of these fingers and then put them alongside some of his masterpieces, you'll find actually it's exactly the finger that he then painted in X and Y painting. You see, he produced these sketches, each amazing in themselves, all sketched in preparation for his final full-colour oil masterpieces. And every story of redemption in the Old Testament works like one of Van Gogh's sketches. Each is brilliant in itself, but each is preparation and illustrative of the ultimate masterpiece of redemption, which is the salvation of sinners through Jesus, the great Redeemer, the one who came to set us free from our sin and its consequences. And as we look at the finale of this book of Ruth, we'll see how this little sketch of redemption in Ruth fits into the masterpiece of God's redemption for us in Christ. So, three things to note from today's passage. Firstly, redemption is costly. Redemption is costly. As we noted last time, a kinsman redeemer was a close relative of a family who was trapped in trouble. And when the man of the family had died without leaving a male heir, it was vital for the man's family name to be continued. And the Old Testament law said that a male relative of the widow's deceased husband was to marry the widow. And that person was known as the kinsman redeemer. And the first son they would have would then become the dead man's heir. It was also the case that if a man died without an heir, his land could be taken over by the nearest male relative. And that seems to be the background to what's going on here in Ruth chapter 4, those two things. Now for Naomi and Ruth, Boaz was the kinsman redeemer that they needed. He was the one who would provide an heir to inherit the land of Naomi's deceased husband Elimelech. But as we saw last time, there was a kinsman redeemer who was nearer than him. And so Boaz waits at the town gate the next day after Ruth's proposal, as we noted last time. Well, the following day, he waits at the town gate for the kinsman redeemer to come along. Initially, the other relative seems willing. But when Boaz explains that the redemption also involves marrying Ruth, well, the man declines, fearing it would impair his own estate. See, it seems that if he had a son born with Ruth, well, that would potentially compromise the inheritance that he already had planned for his own present children. So for him, the redemption just seemed too costly. He was able to do it. At one point, he was willing to do it, but as he looked at what it might cost him as a family, he thought, no, it's too much. But Boaz, in contrast, he is prepared to accept the cost of redemption. He accepts it willingly. He accepts it faithfully. He accepts it resolutely. He goes about it the very next day. And he goes about it unselfishly because he does it to bless Ruth and Naomi and to provide for them. And in so doing, Boaz is a little sketch of Jesus, who also willingly and faithfully and resolutely and unselfishly redeemed sinners. 1 Peter says that he paid the redemption price at the cost of his precious blood. Just think about that for a moment. The price to redeem you and me, the price paid for our sins, so we can be with God forever and know his security for all eternity, can only happen if Jesus' blood was spilt. That was the cost. He didn't have to do it, but he willingly did it for you and me, as we trust in him. It means each of us here this morning were bought, freed, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That tells us the great value and love that Jesus has for us today. But how does Jesus' death on the cross redeem sinners? How does it actually work? Well, the answer is found in the next thing that Ruth 4 teaches us about redemption. So firstly, if redemption is costly, secondly, redemption is a legal act. Redemption is a legal act. Now, in those days, the town gate was the place where legal transactions took place. And Boaz gathered the town elders there as legal witnesses that day. And as the narrator explains, in those days, for the redemption and transfer of property to become legal, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. Doesn't sort of happen these days. I sold a car the other week. You know, I kept both shoes and, you know, on my feet. But in those days, and as the verse 7 says, that's what happened. And so if you saw a man walking down the road without a sandal on, you knew he had just bought some land and that it had all been done legally. Boaz also announced to all the witnesses that all this had been legally transacted in verses 9 and 10. And then the witnesses confirm it in verse 11. So these verses are telling us about this legal transaction that's taken place. You see, for Boaz to redeem Naomi and Ruth, the law of God had to be satisfied. There was a right way of going about it. The law of God just couldn't be ignored. He couldn't say, oh, well, I'll marry Ruth, that's fine. And then a few days later, people go, what's he shacked up with Ruth for? There was a right way of going about this. The law of God needed to be satisfied. It could not be ignored. And because all stories of redemption in the Bible are little sketches of Jesus and his redemption, his masterpiece, well, this too points forward to God's law that needed to be satisfied for our redemption to take place too. You see, the law of God demands that sin cannot be overlooked. God just can't sweep our sin under the carpet and pretend it never happened. Because of his righteousness and holiness, sin needs to be punished in accordance with his justice. And as Jesus died on the cross, a legal transaction took place. Jesus was giving his perfect life in the place of sinners to satisfy the just demands of God's law. And it was because the just demands of God's law had been met that Jesus could announce from the cross, it is finished. And the achievement of his redemption was then announced at his resurrection. And just like Boaz's redemption, the events of Jesus' redemption also took place before witnesses. You see, we have their testimonies in the writings of the New Testament, which record the publicly witnessed events of Jesus' death and resurrection, as well as the explanation of what those events achieved. It's the legal transaction that took place on the cross, that legal transaction that was announced and declared through Jesus' resurrection and witnessed to in the New Testament, that becomes the basis for all Christian assurance. You see, how do you know today that your sins have been forgiven if you trust in Christ? How do you know? How do you know that you've been redeemed for all eternity? Well, it's because of the record that we have in the book we have in our hands. It's because of that record of how on the cross the law of God was satisfied by the Lord Jesus once and for all time. Redemption is costly. Redemption is a legal transaction. And thirdly, redemption is transforming. You see, redemption transforms people's lives. We see that for Ruth in verses 9 to 12. You see, her redemption has given her a new identity. No longer is she Ruth, the Moabitess, emphasizing that she was an outsider, a foreigner. Now she's Ruth, the wife of Boaz, with an identity within the people of God. And her life is now filled with hope, expressed through those high hopes that the elders of the town have for her in verses 11 to 12. You see, they pray for her to be like Leah and Rachel. And you remember Leah and Rachel were the wives of Jacob, who ended up having the tribes of Israel. They pray for her to be like Tamar, who bore Perez to Judah. It's likely that the people of Bethlehem were descendants of Perez. So they're praying that she will, you know, her impact on this family line will blossom and flourish. Of course, we know that these high hopes were not empty hopes, because Boaz and Ruth's son Obed became the father of Jesse, who we know later had 8 sons, and the youngest of those sons was David, from whom our Lord Jesus Christ descended. It's in these words in Ruth we see the little seeds of the coming of Jesus, of which she was part. Redemption transforms those who are redeemed. And so it's no surprise that all Christians receive a new identity when we put our faith in Jesus. We become adopted into God's family as his children. We become literally new creations in Christ. We become part of the bride of Christ through our union with him. And through our union with him, we now have the promise of fruitfulness. Just 4 ways in which our lives are transformed when we come to Christ. But it's not only Ruth who's transformed in chapter 4, it's also Naomi. You see, she too is caught up in the redemption, the experiences of redemption that we see here. You see, you remember back in chapter 1, verse 19, that the women of Bethlehem, when they saw Naomi return, they said, "Can this be Naomi?" I mean, she left looking such a blessed person, but she came back utterly destitute. It caused her to reply to them, "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "for the Almighty has made my life very bitter." And yet now, though, as these women see what the Lord has done for Naomi and Ruth, they say, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because who's the kinsman redeemer in Ruth? It's Boaz, isn't it? And yet here, Ruth has given him birth. You see, the kinsman redeemer at this point in this section with what these women are saying is not Boaz. The kinsman redeemer is Boaz's child, Ruth's child, Naomi's grandson. The women say of Obed, "He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age." See, that's what redemption does. It renews life. It gives hope for the future. And Naomi, who was hopeless when she was arrived back in Bethlehem, but now with little Obed lying on her lap, she has a future full of hope. And the hope was bigger than she ever knew. For you'll remember that the story of Ruth takes place during the days of Judges. That's how the first verse of Ruth begins. It says, "In the day of Judges." In the days of the Judges. You see, it was a bleak time in Israel, the time of Judges. It's summarized by the last verse of the book of Judges, which is the last verse before the first verse of Ruth. And it says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." See, this is where the book of Ruth begins. It's at a low point of Israel when there was no godly king to rule them. But because of the birth of little Obed, see how the book ends? The final word in the book of Ruth is David. Naomi's hope found in Obed was hope that would materialize in God's king coming to his people, the king that his people needed. And of course, we know that David, wonderful as he was a king, was still a sinner, a king who failed. And actually, it wasn't David the people were ultimately looking to. They were looking to David's greater son, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be our great redeemer. And so the book of Ruth started with a family going their own way instead of God's. It led to suffering and bitter consequences, but it ends with joy and renewal and hope because of the kindness of God that's shown through his providing of a kinsman redeemer. Naomi's hope was now focused on the son that was born. And the focus for all our hope today is on that descendant of Obed who was born to be our kinsman redeemer, our beautiful saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that we've been learning through the book of Ruth about your sovereignty and your providence working behind the scenes of every detail of our lives for our good, for the good of those who love you. Father, we thank you that even in the bleakest times of our lives, we can trust you to be our provider. That we can trust you to meet our needs, even when we cannot see the solutions. Father, may this book of Ruth increase our faith in you and your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, for the way that your kindness is so much bigger than we can understand. And you not only use your kindness to bless us, but to bless many other people through your kindness to us. Thank you that your kindness to Ruth and Naomi has led to kindness coming to the whole world. In fact, we are recipients today because of your kindness to them. Such is the wonder of your blessing and providence. We thank you so much for Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, who came to pay the price for our sins, a price that we could never pay. There was no other kinsman redeemer who could step in and pay that price. But your eternal Son, who took on human flesh, gave his perfect life for us, willingly, faithfully, obediently, out of his love for us and obedience to you. Thank you so much for Jesus, our beautiful Saviour. May we live day by day with a very deep trust in you, that having given so much for us in your Son, we can have confidence for everything we face, because you've bought us, you've made us your own, and we are yours forever and ever. We praise your holy name. Amen.